your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's
your mom and dad.
Welcome, family. It is a glorious day, and I'm going to tell you why right now. Because
it's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day because the stars have aligned because an incredible show like The Traitors, which I am just consuming, loving. It felt almost like escape room energy, D&D energy to me. And then this glorious show in episode 8 decides to give us a haunted cabin escape room challenge. Like, I feel like personally, you know, I'm not trying to make this about me, but I'm not going to make it about me.
You're trying to make this, you're not trying to make your podcast about you at all, but
I'm not going to try to make my podcast about me, but it felt very like, I felt like a love letter was written to me. Yes. I felt seen. I felt observed. I'm like, oh my God. Now I just want a full-time escape room show, like a reality TV show that is an escape room.
Right. I was thinking about that after we watched this. I thought like, why don't they make like a show called The Escape, and it's literally just one big escape room. But then I kind of thought, isn't Survivor, isn't it all kind of an escape room?
No, not really. I mean, if you had a show called The Escape and you were like in a giant mansion and you had to get from one room to the next.
And you had to like sleep in different rooms and like it would take you longer. And if you get,
or like if you couldn't get out, then you're stuck in the same room for however long.
There's a bunch of ideas too. You could be like one person gets, it's only enough for one person to get through. So then the person has to figure out on their own how to get away.
Or like you start off with a bunch of people who aren't together and they're all in different rooms in the mansion. And you're trying to like meet up with different buddies in the mansion so that you're not alone during this, you know, month that you're there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think people would start to lose their minds too.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about it.
Because it'd be terrifying.
Yeah, oh God. And especially if you had the haunted energy, like that haunted cabin, it would be so scary.
Oof. Well, and that what was so cool about this one was that if you guys have watched this episode, basically there's an escape room type thing and then they're like dropping maggots on them and stuff like that. Like the immersiveness of an escape room. Like we've done mall escape rooms. You know what I mean?
Okay, don't excuse
I'm just saying
me.
Like we haven't done.
I don't
done,
know what
like,
you're trying
you know what
to come for my escape room career.
We go to an escape room that's next to like a Gold's Gym. You know, a
or
company,
a golden spoon.
A company. You know what I'm saying? Like you're going in fighting for your life and these people are just like, can I get a latte? So it doesn't like feel like it takes a minute to kind of get into the escape room energy.
Yeah.
And then when you're in there, it's just like, okay, look for the clues as opposed to like people shooting you with stuff like liquids and weird bugs and like
how
that.
How do you
the
think you would have
panic.
Done? Would you have panicked in the dark with bugs crawling all over you? Do you think
I wouldn't
you would
have
panicked?
Panicked? I just would have been like, this is disgusting. You know what I'm saying? I think I would have like, although I am a little claustro.
You are.
If I'm going to be honest with
you. Yeah, you don't do well with heights and you're a little claustrophobic.
Yeah, like I don't know how you guys feel out there, but you know, like when you're on social media and you look at those videos of people like walking on the edge of buildings, I am drenched in sweat when I watch those videos.
No, you feel it in your gut.
Or I've been, my algorithm's been feeding me cave diver people who like do the things where they got to go in tight spaces deep in caves
and they're doing stuff like this.
They're going like this. All right. In order for me to get to the next session, I got to breathe out all my oxygen. So they go,
oh no.
And then where their stomach's as flat as it can be because of no oxygen in their body, they pull themselves
That's
through.
That's your algorithm.
I'm like, dude, terrifying. So like, you know what I'm saying? So anything that's got that energy, like you got to fit in a tight space. Big fear.
My algorithm is only crows and reality television.
Mine is crawling through tight spaces and puppies.
Yeah. That makes sense. That adds up. Okay, I think maybe I'm tooting my own horn, but I, as a escape room connoisseur enthusiast, I feel like even though I wouldn't love the bugs, I would have pushed through and I would have been okay.
Okay.
There's only one, two-ish type of bugs that is it's a no-go for me.
Okay.
And that's the cockroach / water bug.
Yeah.
The water bug?
Because they have hard shells. It's anything with a shell.
It makes me feel the hard, oh God.
With an exoskeleton? No, not exoskeleton.
I think that's what it is.
Is that
right?
What it is?
Yeah.
Well, when they have a shield.
For a long time.
When they have a shield.
But it's specifically the cockroach or the water bug.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but I was once, this was a few years ago, I was once getting my nails done. And listen, we're in Los Angeles, so we're in a city and cockroaches, they happen, or water bugs happen. It just is what it is, you know, and people can keep a beautiful, clean space, but it just, it happens, right? So, but I'm getting my nails done, my toenails done, and all of a sudden, I see something huge, and I feel something hit my leg. Like, I see it fall from the ceiling and land on my leg. Uh-huh. And for a second, I thought it was maybe the a piece of the ceiling that fell on me.
A chunk.
And I look down. And no exaggeration, a water bug 4.5 inches big.
Yeah.
And the scream that which I, like the level of scream that came out of me, everyone in the whole place was screaming.
Right.
And then I couldn't get it off my leg because it kind of
It kind of grabbed you?
Oh, I can't even.
Oh my gosh. I mean.
I know. I have like thoughts about it all the time. Like it just freaks me out. Them falling from the ceiling, a water bug. Yeah. And then it latches on. So I'm trying to flick it off. And I'm like, oh God. And it's stuck on, terrifying.
The only bugs that scare me are bugs that aren't afraid of me.
What bug isn't afraid?
Well, that's like the cockroach, I feel like. I feel like the cockroach is kind of like.
They're around people a lot, so they're a little bit like.
It's the raccoon of the, you know.
The bug community.
The bug community.
I love a raccoon.
Because like raccoons will just like, they're kind of fearless. And possums too, they're kind of like, what's up? And they'll just like walk up to you and you're like, oh, you should be afraid. Mm-hmm. This relationship is not normal. Bug, like certain cockroaches and stuff, they'll kind of just walk at and you're like, dude, what, you should be running away from me. That always freaks me out.
I understand.
Because I like, because the idea of a bug landing on me and then being like, let me get out of here.
Yeah,
that's
then you're
cool.
Okay.
But any bug that's just like, I'm good. Are you afraid?
And that bug wanted to be my new pal. And like, no shade to that bug. I do. I'm fine with a bug. I enjoy a bug. But like that.
Medium.
Okay.
I don't feel like you're like a big, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I'm going to call you out now. Our daughter is a big bug person. Like she's always grabbing bugs. I will grab the bug with her. I never see you being like, also let me hand you the bug.
This is the thing, Evan. Part of when I was, you know, when Ember was little, the parenting end, I was like, if I don't act afraid of this, then maybe my child won't be afraid of
it.
So then when I'd see a spider or a bug, I'd be like, oh, look how interesting it is. Okay, maybe we shouldn't touch that bug.
You were lying,
But now because of that, Ember
is a bug.
Is like, she'll grab the cockroach and be like, oh my God, mom, look, it's like my new best friend. And I'm like trying not to panic. But I'm okay enough with a bug. Like I enjoy looking at a bug.
You're cool with the bug.
And I'm okay enough with a bug to be like, oh, Ember, check these bugs out. But I don't necessarily want to like have it be my new best
kick
friend.
Kick it with the bugs.
Not particularly, no.
Okay. All right, good. I just want to get on the same page with that. Because I don't feel like you're... We're big bug heads over here. Ember's a huge bug head. But anyway.
Ember loves a bug. Anyway, so interesting. The
so
bug
fascinating, our bug journey. But yes.
I think I would have thrived in this challenge.
Yes, I think you absolutely would. I also think you're really good at like blacking out.
Yes.
Fear when you have a... Task.
When I have a task, yes, that I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm, like when you put, you're weird in the way that like you'll just wake up one day and decide something and like you're cool with it.
Yeah.
And I feel like in this case, I'd be more afraid than you would with the bugs.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think I would just be like, I got to put my head down. I got to crawl. And I would have gone into those tunnels, by the way. There's no way I would have been staying in that. I'm like, I got to be a part of this.
You wouldn't be with the other housewives that leave within three seconds?
No, absolutely not. I'd be like, I need to feel like if I can do anything, I can championship this one because all the other missions, I would have been of no use. Like jumping on those boards later, I would have failed. Like I can't offer anything to any of my fellow players throughout this game during the missions. This I can do.
I was also thinking like about the fact that it's funny when you think about like how rich some of these people are. And so like you're dealing with like a Shaw of Sunset and they're like 150 that whatever. And they're like, okay, like that's one of my purses. Like I understand then when they like ditch a task because it's like gross. They're like, I don't care about like, the money. This is for like, more exposure.
They're like, hey, you're going to lose $1,000. And I'm like, fuck $1,000. Like $1,000.
And then you have like Parvati that seems to not have like just a normal person. And she's like trying to get the money. It's just funny. Like some of these other women.
They're like,
house is worth $80 million. You think this $100,000 means anything to me?
And I'm gonna have to split this with
like
people.
The tires on my car are worth more than this, let alone. So you think I give a shit? If someone drops a bug on me, I'm out.
That's what seemed to be like what was happening.
Absolutely.
But okay, let's get into this. Let's dive straight in. Yes. But first, we got to take a quick pause. Family, we just celebrated Mother's Day, so I'm sure there are a lot of homes that are full of bouquets of flowers sent with love. And I'm assuming people are wanting to smell those gorgeous flowers. But if you are someone who has a cat, you may instead be smelling the litter box. Okay. Unless, unless you use Pretty Litter, because nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. I've told you all that I got my dad, the cat king, hooked on Pretty Litter a few years ago, and the difference in the way that the home smell is when we go over now is wild. It used to kind of have this kitty litter waft to it, and now his place smells like his vanilla candles.
And he's a big candle
and
king
as
well.
He's the candle king, the cat king.
Pretty Litter is ultra absorbent. It's also lightweight, low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. And that 6-pound bag ships right to your door, so no more panicking because you ran out and then having to lug those huge tubs from a store to your car and then into your house, and no more huge kitty litter tub taking up space.
It's true. It's really glorious. And also the biggest piece to give you peace of mind, Pretty Litter's crystals change colors to indicate early signs of potential illnesses in your cat, like urinary tract infections, kidney issues, and more. If you or someone you know has started using Pretty Litter, you know what a massive game changer it is. Everything we mentioned above, and even that low dust factor, you don't have dusty little kitty footprints all over the house that you have to clean up after. Pretty Litter is amazing. You have to try it. Go to prettylitter.com/momdad to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy too, okay? That's prettylitter.com/momdad to save 20% on your first order and a free cat toy. prettylitter.com/momdad. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Family, I'm just hooked on this escape room concept. I just feel like that's a really good show
idea.
I think it's a great idea. Maybe we should produce it. Oh, you know what? I don't want to get my hands dirty. Nope. I feel like that's the dark side is the production.
The production end. Maybe we should come up with a concept, pitch it to some people that'll work, do all the work, and then we'll just be like, can we have a little bit?
Yes, just get a little percentage of the idea.
We should walk into the studio and be like, we have an idea. And they're like, what's the idea? We're like, escape room show. They're like, cool. Well, what about it? And we're like, well, that's all we have.
And then also I get to go as like part of the cast for the first round.
You get to be a host? You want to be a host instead?
No.
You
want to be in it? Hey, I want to play. You know what? Let me play first round. I'll succeed. I'll show the people that I'm not just all talk, and then I'll become the host for the second season.
Oh, I like that. Oh, yeah, I do like that. And then you'll have a career as a host, and then you can be the next
only for
bachelorette host.
I would never try to take that job away from Jesse Palmer.
Sorry.
I've now become very attached to him, okay, so I would never, ever do that.
Okay, there's an alliance. I understand.
You know what? Speaking of escape rooms, I did do the other day, and it was a moment of like deep, true motherly love. There was an escape room that is Jurassic Park themed that I've been wanting to try, and I really wanted to try it on my own, do a solo escape mission. And our daughter saw me looking at it on the computer over my shoulder, and she was like, can I go with you? And I'm not going to lie.
You're like, I deserve this.
For a moment, I was just like, maybe I just say there's an age limit.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. And I said, you know what? Sure. And I used true mother's love. We did the escape room together. You were gone. And I did a Jurassic Park escape room with her. And even though I wanted to just run through the whole thing and go as fast as possible, I took my time. Yeah. I let her. And that for me, that's big mother's love.
Because you're really sacrificing your pure enjoyment and making it like a lesson learning thing. Because the funny thing
I'm not trying to pat myself on the back for this. It's just more for me, like a reminder to be like, hey, Jessica, remember like how bananas you sound.
Yeah.
Your daughter wants to do an escape room that you've been wanting to do and alone. Like, and you're like, you know what, Jess?
You're treating it like, can I come out with you guys at night? You're like, no, this is not stupid. You know what's funny about Ember too? Because we did that escape room with her once and it was really fun.
I mean, you've done one with us once,
That's
but Ember
saying.
And I have done many together.
But what's funny about Ember, I don't know if she's changed since I did it with her, but she does this thing. She's so sure of herself. Like, she's got so much just self-love and confidence that
it's so beautiful.
She's always just like assured that everything is going to work out. So she'll be like dead wrong about something. And then she's like, oh, it's that. And I'm like, Ember, that doesn't even open. She's like, no, that is exactly it. Everyone, trust me, it's that.
And then we try it, it doesn't work. And she's like, explanation for it, too.
Well, that's just, who knows why. And then she's always just like so confidently leading us into these
areas.
And
the confidence never diminishes, even if she keeps getting one
wrong
after another.
Even if it's wrong 100 times in a row.
It's really beautiful.
She goes, that's life.
It's really beautiful. And I will say, it does keep up the positive energy in the room.
When you start getting a little disheartened.
Because sometimes you can get disheartened when things are just messing up. And you're like, oh my God, we only have 20 minutes left and we still are so far behind. But she keeps the positive energy going. And guess what, everybody? We beat that Jurassic Park escape room with like 30 seconds left. And it was a hard one. It was a high level.
I'm sure it is. And as a middle-aged father,
I thought you were going to say middle-aged woman, and I was like, excuse me.
No. As a middle-aged father, the escape room does something to you, which is very interesting, and it goes against everything in your old man brain, which is you have to ask for directions when you're in there. Because the first time we did it, I was stubborn, and I said, no, we got this, and we failed miserably, and we did not get all the way through.
But also,
then, I am willing to the occasional ask for some help, and then you get to complete it. But if you don't, some of these are so impossible. Yeah. There's like no way.
But you know what,
Evan?
It's also just part of your escape room journey that, like, you gotta, you know, you keep getting better, and then you don't have to ask as many questions.
Okay, well, I'm not quite there yet. I'm just like every 5 minutes, I'm like, help, because I'm gonna have to freak out. And like, technically, it says like, you know, like when there's certain things you can open and certain things you can't. Well, it's like in my brain, if I just rip this open, then technically you can open.
Yeah, they tell you beforehand, please don't use any force.
Any force, everything should be
on the
normal.
Object. And I'm just like, it should just be like bashing them.
I'm like, yeah, see, you can open it. Nothing's in there though. That's weird.
Anywho, let's get into this. Okay, family, guess what? This week is Traitors Week. It's Traitors Week. And so here's the deal. Today we're covering episodes 8, 9, and 10. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday we will release our finale / reunion episode recap for the Traitors. Mm-hmm. So this week is a Traitors packed week. And then starting next week, for a few weeks, we got some fun episodes coming, some guests, some good times. Stay tuned for those. Very excited. And then we dive into Perfect Match. And then we dive into The Bachelorette.
So excited.
Cast bios, Bachelorette. We've got some good stuff coming up.
It's going to be amazing.
Can't wait. But
summertime.
Let's get into these episodes.
Let's do it.
8, 9, and 10 of The Traitors Season 2. Okay, so we were last left with Parvati and Phaedra needing to decide who they were going to murder.
Murder.
After that torch ceremony. You and I were both like, you need to take out Trishel. You need to take out Trishel.
It's early enough to where I feel like she hasn't built her campaign as high as she had then does later. Like,
but it's also one of those things too where we're like, from the get, we've seen that Trishel's been a really, really strong player, and Bergy is just the right hand of Peter. And it's like, well, if Peter's not getting gone, you think that what happened was what we saw is you got rid of Bergy, and Peter was like, I have a vengeance in my blood now. So now you've gotten rid of his brother. He's upset. Trishel has the capability to start a whole new campaign on her own. So why not get rid of Trishel? It just is mind-blowing to me.
What's shocking to me is how unhinged Trishel kind of always seems. Like, she always seems so anxious and kind of like on edge and like firing off, right?
Like, what did Phaedra say to her? She was just like, I'm not like as, she didn't say unhinged.
Oh, yeah, but it was something like, I'm not as like crazy as you are. And I think it was interesting because it's like, you'd think that they would have gotten rid of her because or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe her anxiety kind of proves that she's not a traitor because she's just so like scared all the time.
Yeah.
But it's like, she's always like angry at everyone for not believing her.
Yeah, she takes it personally, feels
and,
like.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I feel like she's been so much more successful than I thought she was going to be. That's more the thing. Is like she keeps kind of getting it right and then like harping on it and then like getting people boosted. And I'm like, how is she the one that's getting this done?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she aligned herself with Peter's pals, and also coming from the challenge, she has the relationship with CT. She'd had the relationship with Bananas. And the challenge is a tough game.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know, she's an intense player. Not a huge fan of Trishel, but she's a good player, and she right away is like, it's Phaedra, and she's been on Phaedra now for like what, another episode before this one.
Yes.
She was starting to suspect Phaedra.
She was the first one to kind of suspect Phaedra.
Yes, but yeah, I just don't understand how they didn't get rid of Trishel, because if they would have gotten rid of Trishel, they also could have pointed the finger at CT and been like, hey everybody, remember how the night before CT didn't give his friend Trishel a torch? He didn't light her torch, and then all of a sudden now they got in a little bit of an argument and now Trishel's gone. They could have started to point it in that direction, or they could have been like inside Peter's pals. Peter's the one getting rid of Trishel because she's standing up and saying that she wants different things. I mean, there are so many ways that they could have gone about it. But
Bergy choice is strange. Although I will say this, because at first I thought the same way, like Bergy's no threat other than he just, you know, aligns himself with the Peter's pals.
Yeah.
But then I thought to myself, Trishel is independent enough to, under the right circumstances, disagree with Peter.
Yeah.
Bergy is a whatever Peter says, Bergy does.
True.
So basically, Peter's worth two votes.
Yeah.
Whenever he goes up there, if Bergie's around.
I just couldn't believe that Phaedra just was able to get rid of her Bergalish. I'm like, that had to be really painful
for her. That had to hurt. But my favorite exiting quote was him going, I proved to myself that I could not be manipulated. And I was like, Peter made you a puppet, dude. He made you do tons of dirty work.
He said, after this, I'm able to handle confrontation better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, Bergie got cut. And instead of taking it to heart and being like, I lost, he was like, you know what this game did for me?
Yeah.
It helped me learn how to handle confrontation.
That's very sweet.
And it's, you know, it's a very lovely perspective. Everybody's like, hey, who's a traitor? Who's a traitor? I want the money. I don't have to share the money with the traitors. Blah, 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 blah. I want it all for myself. And Bergie's like, you know what? I've learned better boundaries and how to handle confrontation.
He's still delusional. And I realized I'm not going to be manipulated. Meanwhile, Peter's like, I literally had my hand up you and was like talking with your mouth the entire time. Like,
now I can't wait to finish this season so that I can find out if the friendship has continued or if you are right and Peter no longer takes Bergie's calls.
No, there's no way. And Bergie calls him and stuff and he'll answer every once in a while. But it's like, you know, let me tell you this.
He puts him on speaker and then walks around and does other things.
Exactly.
Oh, no, not Bergalish.
Exactly. And Peter had a birthday and he didn't invite him. And Berg was absolutely devastated.
Wait, I feel like my eyes are getting watery. That makes me feel so sad.
Yeah. So Peter posted and he's like, oh my gosh, having the best time out with my birthday. He's like, what?
Oh my God.
And he saw the stories the next day, devastated.
Bergalish.
So I'm just saying,
you know what? I'm going to keep fighting you on this one. I'm going to believe in my heart that Peter has kept up their friendship and now they live together in bunk beds in Peter's mansion. Yeah. Or if he still lives at home, I'm not sure.
Well, Peter's still fuming, but we'll get into that later. Well,
Peter. So Bergie, they find out that Bergie has been axed. Mm-hmm. Peter says that vengeance is now coursing through his veins.
Kind of an intense thing to say.
It is intense.
It's intense to be like, dude, I'm devastated. I got to win this for Bergie. No. I'm here for vengeance now. It's like, whoa, okay.
Well, Peter, I will say, you know, he was the king of this game, the king of the faithfuls. And these next few episodes, he seemed to, I don't know if I want to say it started getting to his head because he was still playing a fabulous game, but it was almost like he became blinded by his vengeance and things started getting a little loose.
It started to get loose and it started to become emotional.
Yes, because then we see at the round table where he starts playing this like Parvati versus Phaedra game. And then everyone's like, you are lying about.
He got a little too far in the strategy and didn't keep it simple.
And people are starting to get annoyed with him. Everyone's talking about how annoying Peter is. And I feel like I'm also taking that a little personally. I know I'm now used to my daughter sitting next to me watching the game, just absolutely can't stand Peter because she protects all of the traitors.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed watching Peter on this. And I feel a little personally offended that everyone's so annoyed with him.
I really appreciate his gameplay, but I do find his personality in there. Mm-hmm. I would be annoyed because there's this level of like what Phaedra said later on, it's like, I feel like everyone here has to prove their worth to you. Either they're worth or that they're not the traitor. And you're kind of going, that's annoying, right? If you're walking around feeling on edge with him, like he's the king and you have to kiss the ring and you have to kind of be like, play your game. Like when it's no longer about actually the traitor. It's about like appeasing Peter. Mm-hmm. If your personality is not cool with that, it would annoy me as well. And people like Kate, people like that who are really annoyed with him. I could totally see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Peter is truly, as he says, he could never not be a faithful. Yeah. And at one point later, I'm jumping ahead, but later when Phaedra is offered the opportunity to choose a recruit as a traitor, and in this situation, they're telling her, hey, listen, Phaedra, you're able to essentially force someone to become a traitor. They either are a traitor and accept your invitation or they get murdered.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like she should have picked Peter. And then I'm like, you know what? Peter's the one person who I could imagine being like, I'd rather die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather die than accept you.
He's like, I'm willing to give my life So that, for my fellow, everybody's like, chill, dude.
So that at the reunion, he could come out with like a sword and a shield and be like, I have protected all of you, my children. And I floating stood on by. The river
like a soldier in a Nordic army. You know what yes. I mean? You're like, it's just he even just how he refused it was like not he didn't refuse.
The original
recruitment. Yeah. He didn't refuse it because it's a good idea. He refused it because he's like, I'll never betray my people. And you're kind of like, okay.
That's dude. The thing. I could have actually seen him being the one person where it's like, do you die or do you become a traitor? That it's
it
like,
would have been epic,
for the
though.
Honor of the game. Boof, 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 yeah. boof. I will not accept.
I henceforth resign.
And he would have been.
So he's like, why did you leave?
By the way, and he would have been in that like old dungeon yeah. looking at Phaedra face to face and be like, I will never be one yeah. of you.
Trying to get the key from the dog, yeah. you know, pirates. Anyway, yeah. My favorite thing, though, of the next morning was Phaedra continuing, as always, to not give a shit about what just happened, nope. but just talking about the food. All she does is walk around table to table and go, ooh.
Ooh,
ooh, that looks good.
A macchiato.
Oh, what is delicious. That? Oh, that is good. Her, I guarantee you, if you talked to her, if we did an interview today of her and you said, what was your favorite thing? She go, oh, the food. Food was
yeah,
fantastic.
The buffet that they had, that morning breakfast, with that continental have, breakfast, absolutely,
all we have is
slapped.
Footage of her just talking about little morsels and can you pass the salmon? And ooh, that's pretty good. It's
you know what?
Hilarious.
What a way to play as a traitor, though. You're like, I'm going to kick back on my heels. Let everyone have their drama. I'm gonna apply my gorgeous makeup, my fits,
yeah.
and then have this delicious free breakfast.
But it's really funny because they'll be like, Bergie's dead. And she'd be like, can you pass the cream cheese? And like over someone's going, who's going, oh my God, he's dead. And they're like, can you just
they're
move your shoulder real quick?
Smashing Bergie's photos and everyone's crying.
Yeah.
And she's just like, that's a nice tan.
Can I get a little more orange juice for my champagne? Thank you. It's hilarious the amount of footage they have of her just talking about the food.
God, she's so iconic. And the way in which her energy starts to shift in these few episodes, the drama, once we get okay. into like
yep,
an no. episode no, nine or whatnot, that. Her energy that shifts, the
insane.
Level of Shakespeare that takes over her body is so iconic. We've never seen anything like it before on our screens, and I am obsessed.
To be honest with you, okay, we'll talk about that in a second. I just, okay. I have thoughts.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Oh, we got to talk about Peter and Parvati.
Peter and Parvati and that whole
we'll
thing.
We'll get into this. Okay, but we got to take another quick pause, family. Family, so I just have to say this. I just have this question. How do Parvati and Phaedra get any sleep with the traitor stress lingering over them? Mm. Also, they wake up looking gorgeous and refreshed. Like, how? The only way I would know how to do that is by using Blissey's award-winning 100% mulberry silk pillowcases, okay? I wanted to switch out all of my bedding this year and was gifted some Blissey's, and I cannot begin to tell you how life-changing it has been. I did not know that a better pillowcase could help me get better sleep and simultaneously help my hair and skin. Like, what? Unbelievable.
Yes. Not only are they so comfortable to sleep on, it's like pure luxury, elegance, if you will.
Ooh, elegance.
Yes. Also, silk is what's best for your hair and skin. It reduces frizz, tangles, and prevents breakage. That's because it keeps the moisture in your hair and keeps your skincare products and natural moisture on your skin, while cotton literally absorbs it off your face. Say goodbye to wrinkles, dry, flaky, and red skin in the morning and wake up with healthier and shinier hair.
And listen, there are a lot of dupes out there that claim satin can be an alternative to silk, but that's just not the case. Satin is made from synthetic fibers like polyester, while silk is a luxurious all-natural fiber. Silk is more breathable, moisture-wicking, and gentle. Think of it as like an investment because silk also is more durable and long-lasting. And Blissey pillowcases are made up of 100% mulberry silk, which is naturally hypoallergenic. It's amazing. Blisseys are of the highest quality silk and are machine washable and durable. Like I said, I'm telling you, I wake up and my hair is the way I left it when I went to bed. I'm obsessed. And on top of it ships in this like chic packaging, so it's a great gift. Everyone is getting Blissey this year, okay? Because everybody loves them. They have a ton of different prints and colors, and like I said, they make great gifts because there's an option for literally anyone. They have over 1 million raving fans, and you could be next. Try now risk-free for 60 nights at blissey.com/momdadpod and get an additional 30% off. That's blissy skinclass.com/momdadpod and use code momdadpod to get an additional 30% off. Your skin and hair will thank you. Also, while you're at it, just check out all their products on their website. They're amazing. Don't get me started on their pillow mist. Our bedroom smells like a spa now.
Oh my gosh.
It's delicious.
Love it.
Okay, so we have to talk about Peter, because after he finds out that Bergie is gone, him and Trishel get together and Trishel's like, listen, we have to get out Phaedra because we know for sure that Parvati is a traitor. So it only makes sense to keep someone that we know is a traitor around until the very end and try to take more risks. But she's like, I know that Phaedra is a traitor. So then Peter decides that he needs to talk to Parvati and try to convince her that maybe he was wrong about her being a traitor and like kind of get her on his side a little bit. So Peter pulls Parvati aside and this man, Peter goes full bachelor.
Yes.
He goes full. We literally watch him. He's walking down the hall and he like emotionally visualizes himself in that suit.
Yes.
He's got a rose in his hand. He's walking out. He sits her down and the way he cocks his head and just stares at her for a long time and is like, I might've been wrong about this.
I kind of saw her blush. To be honest,
I blushed watching the screen.
Yeah, there was kind of like a flirty moment. You know what I mean? Like he kind of really laid it on.
And she's playing he's playing into her cards too, because then she was like, oh, I'm going to be playful and vulnerable back and be like, see, I'm telling you, like I put up this wall because I just trusted the wrong person. And I can put up walls when I feel that way. And when I feel like everyone's accusing me of something that's not true, but like, it's not me. Like I just trusted the wrong person. He's just like, baby girl, I might have been wrong about you this whole time. Baby girl.
Listen, I want to take you on a one-on-one, but the show's making me take someone out. What was interesting about this strategy, though, was that it was the first time we saw, like, saving someone for later. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I feel like when you're playing to the next episode, you know what I'm saying? That and you're not communicating with people, like you're playing fast and loose with the strategy. The idea should be like focus all your energy like on the person in front of you, get that so that everyone can join in.
Now
maybe in the back of your head.
Yeah.
But when you start like involving two or three people and then trying to play the long game while everyone else is, then it could blow back on like it did blow back.
It feels like it gets too complicated. Listen, I think it's a very smart strategy in the sense of like, hey, it's nice to be sitting in that final round table and be like, I know who the traitor is. So we can get that person out and know exactly, like know for sure that the faithfuls are going to get the money. But when then you're starting to lie, you're having secret meetings, all of this, you're going to have people that are going to get suspect of you, just like what happened to Peter.
Yes.
But I just love seeing him go into full bachelor mode. And also that moment where he was talking with Kate, walking down the halls after a round table. And she was like, is this harder than The Bachelor? And he was like, oh no, The Bachelor was so much
way harder.
And I found that to be quite powerful because we see Dan, Big Brother player, almost two-time winner, say, this is so much harder than Big Brother.
Yeah.
And we have The Bachelor being like, this is cake
comparatively
compared to The Bachelor. And I was like, damn, that's called insight into the behind the scenes.
What it's like to kind of deal with all that.
To be on that show.
Because you're also like, you're also in, you know, this show, you're not in love. So you're not even dealing with your emotions on that level. So you're also like on The Bachelor, you're doing all this strategy and all this feeling of frustration, but then also like, you know, am I going to fall in love with someone, or this person tore my heart out by leaving or telling
me
this lie?
And also, you're going to have to play to the audience to be like, oh, I can't be breaking people's hearts or else they're going to hate me. And what are the producers screwing me over on?
And you're afraid of a bad edit.
Now, Ari was on the first season of The Traitors, and I haven't watched. I'm so curious to see how he did as a bachelor on that show. But like now I'm fascinated for season 3, season 4 of The Traitors, where they have to bring in more bachelors and bachelorettes or people from the show to see how they stack up, because I feel like they'll crush. You know, I secretly want our girl Katie to go on that show. Not secretly, I want
amazing.
It so passionately.
And she's so competitive too, it'd be perfect.
I should be incredible at it.
But anyway, so Parvati, they have this conversation and Parvati definitely is like, I don't know if I trust him, but I'm going to kind of lean into this. And then because I do think he laid it on a little too thick. He was like, I think I was wrong about you. Meanwhile, he spent the last 4 days trying to kill you off. You know what I mean? It was a little bit like a little heavy handed both ways. It's like you came in so hard, making everyone revolt against her. And then within a 3-minute conversation, you go, you know, I might have you wrong.
Yeah, there's something about those eyes.
There's something about those eyes. You know what I mean? It was a little bit like, I think he played that a little too fast and loose.
No, it's true.
Too obvious, I guess.
As this is happening, though, you know, Phaedra and a few of the other people are talking about Peter, but Phaedra's planting the seeds. Like, I think it's Peter. I think it's Peter. But we have Trishelle then on the way to the mission telling Parvati she's convinced that it's Phaedra. So now it's in Parvati's ear that people are like, it's Phaedra, it's Phaedra, it's Phaedra. So Parvati is going to be like, hey, how am I going to handle this with my cohort, my traitor buddy.
So that was interesting because what I liked that Trishelle did was that Trishelle didn't make it obvious that Parvati was being manipulated. She's like, you know, I don't know about you, but like, I do think she made it all about Phaedra. And yes. I think that's a better way to handle it.
She didn't act like she was in love with Parvati. And
yeah, exactly. Where Peter made it all about like, do I believe you? Instead of I'm thinking Phaedra's a lot more
sus.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I thought Trishelle played that perfectly.
Because Trishelle did say too, she was like, I'm not convinced that it's not you, right, Parvati, but I'm convinced
it's Phaedra. That it's Phaedra. And that's a great way to make someone think that they're kind of off your scent.
Yep. Well, then they go to their cabin escape room like we discussed before. Now, I do have to mention this. We got to meet outside this creepy cabin. There were these beautiful huskies.
Yes.
And there was a man who is called the most devious Big Brother player ever, who I don't know if he was on season one or not, but his name is Dr. Will.
Mm-hmm.
And I know nothing of this man, but he truly terrifies me.
He's scary and he has perfect skin and he's really scary. And also,
we looked him up. He's a doctor of aesthetics.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, he's got the dermatology, he's got the aesthetics, and he is glowing. Don't get me wrong.
My biggest letdown was that he didn't have a British accent. He's sitting there with two dogs in a country cabin, like in Wales or wherever they are,
Scotland.
And then he's just like, how's it going? And you're like, oh, could you not have picked anyone else? Like, how about just some like creepy Scottish man to where we didn't need him. He's not. I don't think he's recognizable enough.
Maybe though, with the people who watch Big Brother,
I would much rather have some actual actor who's like this creepy old guy who's just like, you're never getting out of here alive.
You know who they could have used?
Then like Dr. Will.
Dr. Will's younger brother, Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, right.
Dr. Will.
He looked exactly like him.
The older brother of everyone. Like, if you don't know Timothy Oliphant, look it up right now. To me, that's all I could see. The
same
older
mouth,
brother.
Same voice.
Same voice. For a second, I was like, is that Timothy with like maybe a little bit of like a prosthetic face situation going on?
Right.
Like, I'm not quite sure. But then when he locked them in that cabin and he opened up that like tiny, tiny window and he's just like, what's the best part is trying to get out.
He's trying to be this creepy thing.
The Shining.
Yeah, like, he's just like, hello.
Here's Johnny.
But like, they were so close. She should have just like poked his eye. It was just a funny thing. I just felt like it was creepy at first. And then I was like, that guy's too good looking to kind of be like in the woods. They need to pick someone a little more like creepy. I don't know, classic, but
I just love that they had a aesthetic dermatologist
exactly.
in the woods.
It's like, a dermatologist in the woods? It has American accent. Like, yeah, it was just of all the things they could have chosen. It was hilarious.
But like we talked about this. They it's a full escape room. And what happens is the people who are in the tunnels, for them to see and to have lights on in the tunnels, the people in the cabin have to hit both lights and it's pitch black in there. And as they're holding the lights in the pitch black room, that's when the bugs and everything starts to fall.
And if you let go of the lights go away. So you had to sit there and stand
there.
So
the people are in the tunnels going like, for the love of God, keep the lights on for us.
Screaming.
Okay? We're in the tunnels and we can hear you guys screaming and shouting in the cabin. Just please, just keep, all you have to do is keep the lights on.
All you have to do. And it was interesting though, Kate, so you know, there's trap doors everywhere. While they're down there doing these challenges, they're dropping gross bugs. We talked about all this, but it was funny. The one thing I did notice that was like super funny to me was that Kate early on noticed there was a trap door above the lights. And she goes, I don't like that trap door. I'm not doing this. And just leaves. Immediately loses money. She's like, I don't care. And then everyone else had to get covered in bugs. It was back to the housewives literally just said, I'm all set on this challenge. And they all left within 10 minutes.
They all dropped out. All
the money, just walked outside. I mean, while everyone's fighting for their lives, fighting for the money, fighting to win. They had absolutely zero care in the world for like winning or losing this challenge.
Kevin's in there by himself.
Screaming like, no one's left. I'm all alone.
He's like over the walkie-talkie being like, help me, I'm all alone in this cabin. But the people in the tunnels are like, okay, buddy. Like, sorry.
They had zero competitive energy for this. They're just like, nope.
Not at all. And so they end up, they're going through the tunnels. In fact, at one point, CT then comes back, gets Kevin, mm-hmm. gets through the tunnels again. They're all emerging. And Alan Cummings is like, there's one gold piece left. CT goes back in, gets it in the nick of time.
He's the challenge king.
Even provides a moment where he's like, didn't find it. And he's like, wait, there's a snake in my pants, and pulls out
a gold
thing. Simultaneously doing a penis joke. Yeah. So bravo to him.
Double entendre, fantastic.
So he really, To be truthful here, CT and Trishel destroy the missions.
I mean, there's a reason why they were successful in the challenge, because the missions are like a representation of those things, and they're so good at
and
them.
If
they
bananas,
kill them every time.
If Bananas was there too, he would absolutely
still one of the
demolish.
Biggest tragedies that guy got was the first one to go.
But I'm not gonna lie to you. Okay, listen. I would fail at these missions, like I said before. I have no athletic abilities. I would be able to offer nothing to the entire group. Okay. But if I were the people who were in the tunnel, I would be pretty pissed off at everyone who left the cabin.
Oh my gosh, furious.
Because
I'm being dumped on with rats, bugs, slime, mud in the dark in a hole.
Yeah.
And you're in a warm cabin getting the occasional maggot thrown at you. Like,
dude, still sounds horrible.
But I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's absolutely insane.
I'd be upset.
100% I'd be pissed, but no one seemed to be pissed. Everybody was kind of like, I get it.
Yeah, they handle it well, but they, because the issue is this. So if they just left and left Kevin, I'd be like, whatever. That's mm-hmm. Kevin can be frustrated if he wants to. But every time one of them would leave, they'd lose $1,000.
Right.
So they ended up getting $15,000 and they lost $4,000, which is an ample amount of that percentage of the money.
Each time
they
left, it was $1,000. Then they didn't get some of the coin. Yeah, it was like a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But what did end up happening is that a shield was found. CT spotted the shield, mm-hmm. and then he essentially was like, Trishel, there's the shield, mm-hmm. check this out. Mm-hmm. His way of offering like a peace offering because of their situation, their drama before with mm-hmm. the torch lighting ceremony, and that meant a lot to Trishel. Yeah. She was like, we'll always be friends, close. I think very smart of CT to not have that rift there, because
we all know, we also know what Trishel's like when she gets a scent.
That's the thing.
She will not stop.
And CT could be next.
Yes.
If she would have continued to be frustrated at him, but instead he's like, here's my loyalty by giving you this shield. Now, of course, we have Peter in the tunnels yelling, don't tell them that you have the shield.
Yeah, right. Right. Don't tell them I have an whole orchestration.
His entire master plan, as CT calls it, continues, where he's like, do not tell anybody. So they don't. Alan is like, anybody want to say who has the shield? Trishel doesn't say a word. So now Phaedra and Parvati don't know who has the shield. Now, I don't know. I guess we never found out if Parvati knew if Trishel had it or not, because she was in
the
tunnel.
She was down there.
But I don't think she saw, because I think she was in a different direction. She wasn't with their little cluster at the time.
Right.
Because
the strategy was definitely, though, even if no one knows, if you see someone going after him and they gets blocked, you can kind of gauge, but why would they have gone after that person? Or, oh, they got blocked. It's interesting. So,
yeah. But then we go back to the manor and Parvati begins to have a moment with John, which
the Academy Award winning moment.
John, he's a trickier player.
Well, it was interesting because I thought it was a smart idea up until when she started crying.
Oh, I thought her crying was superb.
No, it was really good acting, don't get me wrong,
like, but give her a role.
Absolutely fantastic acting, and I liked the idea, you know, she's a beautiful woman, you know, John's an old guy, and I was hoping she'd more prey on his, you know, like maybe attraction to her than like the crying thing, because I was kind of like, out of the clouds, you have a conversation with a guy you've barely talked to this whole time and you're just crying about how hard your life is. Like, I don't think it's going to work, because she was fully lying. She was going, after she cried, she goes, someone give me an award for that.
But think about
crying.
This. She had her moment a week or two ago with John, where they had the challenge that they did together and they were a team and they did really well.
Okay.
And so they did have some bonding moments. So it makes sense to me then that she's like, I'm going to reach out to John, because they kind of, they got to know each other a little bit.
I think it makes sense that they did it. It was more just a little heavy handed.
Yeah, but you know what would have been...
Because she's like, you know, I'm just feeling a little bit weird. It was like,
you know,
let it wind up.
No, you know what would have been weirder is all of a sudden she started hitting on John. That would have been weirder.
I'm telling you, it would have worked better. To you, it seems insane.
But to like some
a
60-year-old
man, some young, beautiful woman's like talking to him and going like, well, I don't know. He'd be like, okay.
We must save poverty.
Logic goes out the door when that happens.
Okay, well, we'll get back into that in a second. We got to take another quick pause. Family. So I had an idea. Okay, Evan, hear me out.
Okay.
What if we started getting a tattoo for every reality TV franchise that we cover?
Wow.
Okay. Thoughts? Bachelor tattoo, Love is Blind, The Circle, Traitors. I don't know.
Okay. Something I love to think about. Let's chew on that.
Okay. I might do it because I love tattoos. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, because I love tattoos, I want to take care of my tattoos so they look good for always, which is why I use Mad Rabbit. This podcast is sponsored by Mad Rabbit. Mad Rabbit is committed to reinventing tattoo aftercare, founded by two friends with a passion for ink. Mad Rabbit creates simple, effective, and natural products that help improve and preserve tattoos, all delivered directly to your door. And let me tell you all, Mad Rabbit is incredible. I've got their tattoo bomb all over my tattoos right now, and it makes them pop like they're fresh, like they're brand new. I love it so much.
Oh my gosh, it looks so good. It's their hero product. Their tattoo bomb sells once every 90 seconds for a reason. Mm-hmm. It revitalizes, replenishes, and preserves tattoo ink with clean and natural ingredients. And it's effective on both new and old tattoos and all skin types. And Mad Rabbit is truly the most effective tattoo aftercare. After using Mad Rabbit, 94% of people reported Mad Rabbit helped preserve their tattoo's depth. 88% reported tattoos' contrast appeared more vibrant, and 87% reported their tattoos appeared more intense. That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Tattoos are officially a part of your body, so the aftercare is super important. Plus, they've got all the products you need for your tattoos, from a tattoo sunscreen to a soothing gel to a lotion and more, which, by the way, sunscreen is always important, but especially now that it's warmer and I'll be outside a lot more, I will be living in Mad Rabbit's tattoo sunscreen and that soothing gel. It really is the best. Now is the time to try out Mad Rabbit. They've preserved over 3 million tattoos, and they've got an exclusive offer just for your mom and dad listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/momdad25 and use promo code momdad25, you'll receive 25% off. That's 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/momdad25 and use our promo code momdad25. Okay, so like we were saying before the roundtable, Parvati tried to appeal to John's heart and said, hey, she started crying. Yeah. Academy Award winning, honestly, mm-hmm. tears, really in my good. Opinion. Kinda very, scary. Very yeah. impressive.
Kind of scary. Just like Peter. It's like Peter and Parvati might be meant for each other, but like master manipulators. So I was like, okay, good to know.
But like, it was, I mean, she's been fantastic on Survivor, apparently. Yeah. So like, there you go. Bada uh-huh. bing, bada boom. I can tell, I can see. And she was doing the whole, like, I trusted the wrong person, and you know, I can just get icy, victim in this whole thing. And da 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 da. And it seems like John supports her,
which is also scary. He's really good at making her feel seen and known. And then all of a sudden, gadoosh.
I know I'm jumping forward with this, and we end up saying goodbye to John,
yeah,
right, later in a few episodes. But I was saying from the beginning, I feel like people were just looking at John and going like, oh, sweet old man who has a bunch of big words and goes on and he's funny. And I'm like, this is a member of parliament,
right?
Okay, like,
and people say that every once in a while. They're like, this guy's a master manipulator, he's a politician, and no one
would. But that was at the beginning for a second, right. Tamara was saying that. Other than that, you know, everyone was just like, oh, John.
It was interesting. He went from zero suspicion to gone.
Yeah. But he was,
it was just a victim though of like,
but he was off. He wasn't banished. Right. And I'm just saying, is I think if John would have gotten to the end, if he wouldn't have gotten murdered by the traitors, I could see John taking it, because I think everyone is just like, oh, silly little John. And I'm like, dude, John is a member. Like, he's a member of parliament.
Got
like,
bit
okay.
For the same reason though, what we made us love him was his speeches.
Yes. Because
he'd be like, hear ye. Here is why I believe they should go. Once upon a time there was a dragon, and you're like, okay, like, that's what we love about his speeches, is how over the top they are. But the problem is it makes it very like the person who disagrees with him, it like really, you really remember him talking about, well, it, as opposed to being like the perfect people, the people that go, I'm really sorry, I just, you know, I like you a lot, I kind of feel like you might be the traitor, kind of
like, let's those be real people. If Sheree was a traitor, she would be crushing.
Speaking of Sheree
uh-huh.
has not even had someone have an
no questions
towards her.
No questions. That's what I'm saying.
When you actually look at the whole board, she's been the only one that no one's even brought up for 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's true. And what's interesting, she might take this because she's
no one's
played...
even looking at her for 1 second.
Oh, it's true.
I don't know how she's not getting
it. I guess some, no one takes it.
But it's also like the Dan, Phaedra, people accuse them of playing it too low. And I'm going, are they just cutting a lot of Sheree's like moments, because she has had barely any words said this entire
maybe she
season.
Just gives off so not traitor energy that everyone's like, oh, Sheree, yeah, don't worry she's about sweet her. Like she, you know, but she does though, during her speeches she'll say certain people's names and yeah. give like, hey, this is why yeah. but like you seem like a lovely, like it's she does it well. I don't know. Well, anyway, you know, before the round table, Trishel is telling everybody it's Phaedra. And this is when we see Kate going, what's with the switch up? All of a sudden, you and Peter are like team get Parvati out yes. of this mansion. And now we're doing Phaedra. Yes. Like, what's this about?
Interesting. Yeah, that was the first time that like someone really nailed like Peter seems really sus right now.
100%.
Something's off.
100%. So they get into the round table and Parvati speaks first. And she, by the way, in ITMs is like, I want to save Phaedra. I love Phaedra. But at this point, she's like, I know I'm going down. Yeah. So it's either me or Phaedra and I got to act. Mm-hmm. She didn't pull a Dan where Dan like out of the clouds was like, it's Phaedra.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly.
Like, so she was like, this is kind of the only situation. This is the situation as it is. But she tells them why she's been acting off. Da 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 da. And then Trishel is like, Phaedra, I have so much on you. You're never surprised at breakfast. You have all the non-reactions. You're never nervous. And that's what Phaedra says. Like, listen, I'm not frantic like you are. That's yeah, the word frantic.
I'm not frantic like you are.
What do you want me to do?
That's the one thing I love about Phaedra. I love many things about Phaedra, but one of my favorite is that she always like creates a lot of confusion during these times.
She does.
She's really good at not sitting there and just taking it.
No.
She always throws out just these like little confusing like remarks that kind of make their point not correct as much, and then it kind of sends the other people in like, oh, that is interesting, I didn't think about that. Like, she's really good at throwing them off her trail consistently.
Yes. Well, and also similar to John, I feel like Phaedra and John turn a phrase.
Yeah.
And so there are so many moments where if someone is coming for Phaedra, she just like knows the right phrase yeah, to yeah. turn, and everyone's a little bit like, oh shit.
Yeah. And I love how Kevin then goes after her because of her twitch or whatever, because like, he's like, every time, which is interesting. Trishel saw the same thing, is every time she starts talking about the traitors, her eye starts twitching.
By the way, it's not that Kevin, Trishel sat with Kevin and she's like, by the way, I've noticed that Phaedra gets this eye twitch.
Right.
And then Kevin goes into the room. He's like, I've noticed this
thing. I have an idea.
Thing.
He's like, I'm smart too. I have this, but it was interesting because I did feel like Phaedra missed out on a good lie there, which would have been like, yeah, my whole life I've had a twitch. But I felt like it was when she goes, no one's ever told me that ever. I felt a little bit like, ooh, you kind of like, that was a sketchy move in my opinion. But
yeah, well, she though, Phaedra,
and then she claps back at him and she goes like this. So at some point she's just like, well, you know, what am I twitching? And just starts going like this with her yeah. eyes at him. That was so funny.
She's so hilarious. But then when Peter started coming for Phaedra, it was so quick. She right away goes, well, I don't know if you all know this, but there's backdoor deals going on. Okay. And she brings up the conversation where Peter pulled her and Parvati and she left. And she was like, I didn't want to have anything to do with whatever backdoor deal Peter has going on. But I find it interesting that Mr. Peter is saying Parvati, 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 and then pulls us for a private convo and says, I'd like to work with you.
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden he's doing this whole dance where I'm the traitor and Parvati's not.
Yeah. And it's like, so she's calling him out, which I thought was really good, because for a while there, it almost felt like everyone's like, don't go after Peter, he's too yes. powerful. But now we've seen a couple little, you know, chips in the armor. And I think everyone's kind of sensing that. So enough for her to throw out to Peter and kind of get everyone to consistently start to feel like something's up.
And her opening that crack, I think, is what it's made them the whole spiral
thing.
With
yes.
Peter in the next episode.
Agreed.
Where people are like, Peter's suspect.
Agreed.
In that moment, John, then he turns on Parvati, her pleading to his empathy did not work. He said, I think Parvati is a duchess of deception and a mistress of murder.
Gosh, I love how dramatic he is.
He says that she's more worried about banishment, or she's worried during banishment, but serene during the murders, and that she didn't say anything during yeah. the torches, which I thought was interesting too. I was like, why didn't Parvati plea at the torch ceremony at
yeah.
all and say, please save me? She yeah. was the only one who didn't say anything. Well, they end up doing the voting. Phaedra votes for Parvati. Parvati votes for Phaedra. It was kind of a mutual,
yeah.
like, it's either one of us.
Turn on each other before
Parvati is voted out.
Yeah.
And she then tells them that she is a traitor. Everyone's celebrating
yes.
because now they've gotten Dan out and Parvati, because they were on a losing
streak
for a while.
They were lost the whole way through, and now they're 2-for-2.
So now they're 2-for-2. Here's where it starts to break down, is that after the round table, Kevin pulls MJ and he's like, I'm suspect about Peter. because of her Parvati switch up.
Yes.
I feel like what's going on. And Kevin is one of Peter's pals. So one of Peter's pals pulling MJ, who's not one of Peter's pals, and being like, I feel like he's shifty.
Yeah.
Is pretty wild.
That was really big because Kevin was right below Bergie for like support of Peter.
100%. Peter says those are his two buddies.
And it's so funny how like
he said, like, he called them his two best friends. And I was like, I bet Trishelle and John have their feelings hurt because
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Like, what about us? What happened? But I do feel like it's funny how powerful Peter's gotten to the point now where it feels like it's a coup. Like if you talk about Peter, it's like in shut doors because the king will have your head.
Kevin's like,
he's like, I know this is crazy, but
MJ, I have to tell you something. I'm starting to feel a little nervous about Peter. I feel like he might be pulling the wool over.
Don't even say anything.
We see Peter wandering the halls. Like, shh, he's coming. He's coming.
Nothing, sir.
Peter's smoking a cigarette in the hall.
He's just like,
whomst of you is talking
exactly,
about me?
Exactly. He has so much control in that house, but.
But amongst that, too, Sandra is telling Phaedra, I think Peter has traitor behavior.
Yeah.
And Peter's telling Kate, I was playing with Parvati. And Kate's like, you lied to a group of faithfuls. That sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you now playing this deep game?
Yeah.
And she's like, he's annoying to play with. It's not fun.
I do love how some of her most like her strategic ideas are like, I don't know. His face is annoying.
It's just I don't know.
He talks too much.
His eyes bother me.
Yeah.
His feet bug me.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Exactly.
I got a glimpse at his feet and they bother me. So he's out.
I don't like his eyebrows. It's literally, that's her logic half the time. It's like, he's stupid. I don't know. Let's get rid of him.
Sure. I'll gang up on him. No big deal.
I don't know. Dumb.
Those eyebrows, get him out of here. But then we have the traitor's turret, and it is a lonely walk for Phaedra because she is all by herself. And this is when something switches in Phaedra, and Phaedra always gives us the glam and the drama, but all of a sudden Phaedra becomes,
she's trying to take Alan's job. I honestly think what happened up there, because you guys, if you don't remember, or if you didn't watch us and you're just enjoying our incredible personalities here, she gets up there and it's literally like she turned up her like traitor's impersonation to a million. Like Alan's like, what do you decide? And she's like, ooh, what will I decide? No one will ever know what I'll do with this demonic idea of mine. Yeah. And it's that's not a joke. Like that is as intense as she went.
He's like, you have to recruit a faithful. They either join you or they die. And she goes, I want Kate. We'll be a murdering duo.
Yeah, she literally goes, we'll be a murdering duo. And then it's so funny because Kate gets recruited.
I'm like, fucking pay Phaedra. I don't know what you're paying her. Pay her more.
It's so funny. Everyone else is super normal. And then she's just like, I've decided. And Alan's like, that's my job to be that person.
Dan's just like, I think I'm going to go for voting out.
Yeah, she's like, ooh, a choice has been made. Who will know? And then she looks at the camera and goes, for next week, we must wait. And then Dan's
Alan's
like,
what? Stop.
Alan's like, dude, that's not your job. And then like, it was funny too, because, she recruits Kate and then Kate comes to the gate, you know?
Or she's in the dungeon.
She's in the dungeon
she's
with her.
Against, yeah.
And then she's like, hello. And like opens the gate and like puts it over her. And then Kate's so not playing the role. She's like, oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
She's like,
I always liked VIP and like clubs. So this should be kind of fun. Like so not playing the role that it's up against Phaedra's like role playing. It's hilarious.
Like, welcome to the turret.
And she's like, oh yeah, it's kind of dusty in here. Whatever.
Oh
yeah.
My God. Do you know what? Phaedra would be amazing on a D&D episode.
Phaedra would be amazing.
Phaedra would crush a D&D episode. If we were like, Phaedra, come up with your character and like who is this character? Yes. Who are you playing? Phaedra would like give 100.
It's like I can't even tell if Phaedra's playing a role or if that's her. I can't tell. I haven't watched the show, but I'm like, this is too crazy and no one else is doing this.
No,
she must just be kind of like that.
Phaedra.
She's always this too. She's always like squinting her eyes and going like, who will be
Phaedra? Phaedra gives drama. Phaedra also is just, she's the queen of the comeback. So she's always like in her ITMs. She'll just kind of have like a sideline that crushes where she's like, well, I don't know about them, da, 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 and like throw a little shade.
So
but
funny.
This, the traitors, she has now become a traitor. She is in her Shakespeare era.
Yes.
It is pulsating through her veins. And as I said, pay her more money because it is so entertaining.
So
every
funny.
Word that comes out of her mouth, I'm losing it.
Just, ooh. I love her. And so even much. In the morning when she's like, oh, these eggs are very good. Dun dun dun. It's so over the top. It's hilarious.
God, I love her so much. But yes, she ends up pulling Kate. And she says, Kate is going to be the perfect person for me because she understands the game.
Yeah.
And Kate ends up saying, sure, I'll become a traitor as well. Now, I found this to be an interesting choice because I felt like Kate was defending Phaedra so much in the roundtable that they just came from yeah. that I felt like, I'm like, is this too close where people then will assume that they're together? It didn't happen though, but yeah. I initially was kind of like, oh man, would it be better for Phaedra to force, you know, again, yeah. Peter might have said, no, I'll just die.
But it would have been epic to go after him again. And then, but then he was under suspicion of switching with, you know, Parvati.
Think,
so there was,
I
there
think
was kind
Trishel
of,
would have been the best call.
I agree.
Trishel's in with Peter's pals. She clearly is a fabulous game player.
But she's all in on getting rid of Phaedra. So that would have been weird because then she would have had to switch her tone. You got to pick someone that is not coming after you full bore. Like you got to pick like John or something who's like gone all in on Parvati. So it's like, cool. Like he's close to Peter. He hasn't gone after Phaedra
but they
yet.
Played a
but
game.
Like, dude, Trishel's number one enemy is Phaedra.
I just feel like there's not enough lying going on with the traitors that like they could have played a game where if she brings Trishel in, she could say, okay, let's come up with a plan where you end up telling your people that you find out that I was lied to about something or that you were right. lied to and you were wrong this whole time. And then you spread that around, yeah. like come up with a lie yeah. that didn't happen. And just run with it.
Yeah.
There's not any lying really going on in this game that I would just like make up. If I was a traitor, I'd be like, I heard.
Well, it's interesting. The traitors only have strategy when it comes to who they're going to kill, but not when they're in the game.
I'm just like,
that's the issue is they think about who they're going to take out, but then there's no strategy in regards to like, guys, here's, we're going to come up with this whole plan on how to get like they need to be doing what Peter's doing, but in the turret.
Yeah.
About the episode.
Yeah.
They just
kind of
calm
like,
down and go, we'll see what happens.
I need more lies. Yeah. I guess I need more make believe stories. And then you're all of a sudden sitting at a round table and some person's having to defend themselves, even though they didn't
some
do
made
anything.
Up thing.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't say that.
Who was doing that? Someone was blatantly lying all the time.
The Circle.
Oh, that's the Circle.
Jordan
Sorry.
In the
I'm
Circle.
Now I'm spacing things up now. But yeah, you're right. People are talking about how like, I'm honest. And it's like, this is not the game of honesty. I'm confused.
No, be a traitor. Even if I was a faithful, I'd be a traitor. Okay, let's take one more quick pause. Mm-hmm. Family, you know, I have to take a moment to tell you about a product that changed my hair game. You know me, then you know that I've had hair struggles. And when I started using Vegamore's products a few years ago, I was amazed. Thank you so much, Vegamore. With Vegamore, I was able to have visibly thicker, fuller, shinier, longer hair, all without the harsh ingredients. Every cute pink bottle of Vegamore's products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. One of my favorite things about Vegamore products are how simple they make them to integrate into your daily life, because here's the thing, consistency is key. I use their shampoo and conditioner every time. Boom, it's so easy, and I love their grow serum. I use it daily and it doesn't make my hair greasy. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of grow serum every 15 seconds on their website, so you know that's how good that stuff is.
Yeah, totally. What's even better is Vegamore's value kits, like the Grow Essentials kit, where you get to try more than one amazing product at a great savings. When you sign up for a monthly subscription, you save more and you never run low on the products you need to take care of your hair. Because like Jess said, the key is consistency in your hair routine.
Give your hair the power of the little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, your mom and dad listeners get 20% off your first order by going to vegamore.com/momdad and use code momdad at checkout. That's vegamour.com/momdad, code momdad to save 20% on your first order. vegamour.com/momdad, code momdad. Okay, so then we have Kate and Phaedra, who are now the new dynamic duo, mm-hmm. and they're deciding who they're going to murder. Is it going to be Trishel or is it going to be Kevin? And we don't know until the next morning at breakfast where we find out that Kevin is gone. They got rid of Kevin. Now, I just feel like I get how Trishel would have felt obvious. So I get that that's a tough one. But Kevin had just had that moment and maybe they didn't know this, but Kevin had just had that moment where he was talking to MJ and was like, hey, I think Peter's suspect. So I'm like, oh, they could have gotten Kevin over to their side, and that's someone else in their numbers. I feel like he could have been easily convinced, and he was convincing MJ.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a surprise to me. But we saw in that breakfast that CT, Kate, and Sandra are like, we think Peter's lying. CT's like, he's rubbing me the wrong way.
Right.
It's not consistent.
It's amazing how quickly Peter became like suspect number one.
And Peter's mad about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because he starts getting angry. Like, he starts saying stuff like, this is angering me, or like, this is annoying, or whatever. It's like, he could tell that he kind of put himself in like a Jesus Christ role a little bit.
Full savior complex, you know what I mean? Was going
a little
on.
Savior complex, and like, I'm the best. It's kind of that I'm a good guy energy. I'm the best guy ever. And they're like, okay, chill. Like,
when he talks to CT later and CT's like, I'm going to be honest, I think I'm going to vote you out. And Peter's like, have you forgotten everything I've done for you? Have you forgotten everything I've done?
I rose from the dead for you. Yeah, it's a little bit like, he's like, how dare you share your opinion of me?
He's just like, do you not remember how we've been getting traitors at left and right, and how I crafted the whole Bergie Shield situation? Is that all lost on you? Now, to be fair,
truth.
I get the frustration.
I get it too, because I was like, wait a second. The second like, you start listening to me, we've been winning.
Yeah, I've been just crushing this game.
Yeah.
But he was starting to get real hurt.
Real
His
annoyed.
Feelings were getting real hurt. And I think a lot of it is because I believe Peter is so much more attached to this game than the Bachelor game. He feels very passionate about this game. And I think he really, really wanted to come out on top because he's having way more fun doing this than he did the Bachelor. And I think he had a point to prove.
I agree.
I say bring him back. Bring him back for season 3.
He's fantastic.
I think he'd be
like
phenomenal.
An All-Stars, Traitors All-Stars or something if they do that.
Or just season 3. Kate was in season 1 and they brought her
back.
True. Bring back Peter.
That's true. I love that idea.
Now, I would love for him to be a traitor, but I feel like it would be so obvious that he'd be a traitor.
Yeah, that's true.
So then we have the next mission, which is at the church, which is where they had to shoot with a crossbow, shoot the stained glass windows that had the different, all the players' names on it. And the final name that remains that doesn't get shot is the name that gets the shield. I don't know how long they spent filming this, but it must have been a nightmare.
Well, it was interesting. It was like whoever made the thing, it was probably some ancient thing, or I don't know what, but it was like they couldn't get it to work. And at some point, I feel like if you just were to be able to throw it, it would have worked. You know what I mean?
Alan Cumming kept being like, well, this is taking longer.
Well, I was planning on going to dinner with my friends, but I guess I'm not anymore. I guess we're doing this game.
Me and Lala were going to have a dinner together. Yeah, no, I think that I bet they filmed that. I'm going to just guess 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Because you're having to like reshoot.
Each shot, you got to get the right shot. Like,
you
got to
get the right shot. Also, you're then, you know, having Alan having to stop and be like, okay, it's your turn. Yes. And why are you doing this? Like, that's a 6 hour shoot that they thought probably was going to maybe be three. Like, maybe it was doubled.
Right. Yeah. And they were just like,
if not more. If not more.
Brutal.
No one could do it.
No one could do it.
But eventually.
Also, a weird game. I wonder if it's like some ancient game or some game that was like written down in the handbooks.
I know,
because
it was
so weird. It was like stained glass with wooden arrows.
Yeah.
It was like they had a meeting. They're like, what are some weird games we could come up with?
Well, they end up starting to have to do some tactical shooting. Like Phaedra aims for Sheree in the tactical shooting because it's easier apparently to move the crossbow left and right instead of up and down. Mm. I wasn't following what was happening, but it all made sense to them.
To them.
So I don't know what's going on.
They've been there for 5 hours. They're like, I think we nailed it.
But she starts to figure out like, oh, hey, this is how we can be nailing these stained glass names better. They start cruising through them. Everything's good and dandy. And then at one point they try to hit CTs. They keep hitting his missing. They keep missing CTs. And then Phaedra hears from Sandra, oh, you should move it over to Trishel because we're wasting all these on CTs. Try Trishel's. Now Trishel is convinced that Phaedra is a traitor because she attempted to move all the way over to shoot at Trishel's name so that Trishel couldn't get a shield.
Right, because it was CT, like they kind of had it all perfectly lined up, so to move it would be a whole thing.
Yeah, so CT now also is like, I think it's Phaedra. I think Phaedra's a traitor because she's trying to get Trishel out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you, this logic confused me. Because, yes, did Phaedra have to move it all the way over to get to Trishel's name? Sure. But also, let's just say Phaedra is a faithful. Trishel was coming for her and trying to get her eliminated in the last round table. If I was a faithful and someone was coming for me and saying that I was a traitor, I wouldn't want them to get a shield either.
any other circumstance,
I'd be like, I don't,
if it was, you know, Cherie, if it was MJ, whatever, it would make sense.
Yeah.
But like Phaedra's enemy number one
is Trishel.
Was Trishel. So it's not crazy for her to be like, yo, I'm trying to take you out. So at least you don't get a shield.
So for them to be like, this means that Phaedra is a traitor, I'd be like, I'm sorry. But for instance, CT, who was at Janelle a few weeks ago, all of a sudden at the round table said, I think CT is a traitor. And then CT goes, well, I'm voting for you now, Janelle,
right,
because you think I'm a traitor. I'm like, that's kind of what someone like Phaedra making sure that Trishel doesn't get a shield would be the same type of behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want someone who's trying to eliminate me, even if I am a faithful,
yeah,
to get a shield.
Yeah.
So it was kind of shocking to me that that was their big, like, this is proof that yeah. Phaedra is the traitor.
Yeah, agreed.
It didn't kind of make sense to me.
It's also a little bit of cabin fever, I think, at this point, where people are like true. Anxious and on edge and tired and, you know. I think people are taking, and also Trishel's famous now for taking everything personally. If you do anything against her, she's like, you hate me, and like, you know what I mean, it's proof you're this, and
yeah, that was
CT doesn't
thing.
light her torch, and she's like, you don't even care about me anymore. It's like a little bit like she's hectic,
yeah, frantic as she said. Phaedra says, well, they end up going back to the manor, and at this point Peter's pals are like, okay, we got to convince like Sandra, MJ to vote with us.
Yeah.
So Peter pulls Phaedra to have a private conversation so that he's distracting her so Trishel can come in and talk to all the ladies.
Smart. I mean, I will say, Peter's constantly coming up with like some little interesting little ways of like making things work.
I know. And also, you are putting yourself on the line by being like, I'm going to distract Phaedra with a conversation, and that means I have to sit her down for like 10 to 30 minutes and think of something to like
to
finesse,
yes,
that she doesn't then just get up and walk away.
Exactly.
Or feel like I'm being weird. Like, I don't know. So,
especially with Phaedra, because Parvati really played into the whole like, please, sir, will you like
you?
Me?
Yeah.
Versus Phaedra from day one didn't play that game.
No.
The first time he tried to recruit her to be like a
Peter Powell,
she literally is, I'm out of here. So
I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulls her aside and he's kind of doing this whole like, this is why I think you are a traitor, and
yeah,
kind of having a heart to heart with her, which again is strategy. He didn't say to her, come on my side.
Yeah.
He was just like, I'm going to be honest with you, Phaedra. I don't want to vote for you, but like,
basically prove me wrong.
I can't figure out how you're not.
Exactly.
This to his demise later, though. So while this is happening, Trishel is talking to the ladies, and she's like, you can't have blind loyalty to Phaedra. And they're a little bit like, well, we don't. We don't. CT and Trishel have a conversation. CT tells Trishel he thinks Sandra and Phaedra are traitors because Sandra was the one who told Phaedra to shoot for Trishel.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yes, I agree with you, but let's wait on Sandra and go for Phaedra.
Mm.
So then at the round table, John speaks first. He thinks Phaedra is a magnificent person, but is a traitor. And he says, both traitors named you as a traitor. And
yeah,
I have to say, I think that's the one
that's
piece
the
of
number
evidence.
One thing. I completely agree. The
that's
number
the
one
piece,
piece
of evidence. That Parvati and Dan voted for Phaedra.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, that I can ride with. That makes sense to me. This whole her shooting Trishel's name.
Or her acting a little weird at breakfast or whatever.
That could
like,
just
there's
be a
never
personality
good
difference.
Evidence. But that evidence of the fact that all traitors pointed at her, the fact that that wasn't always brought up as like the number one thing seems insane to me.
And then Phaedra, I'm glad you're not God. This isn't Parliament, so you can take it down a notch.
Take it down a notch and maybe wrap up, like make, do
dead.
It faster. Like
dead.
She basically roasted him for the speech and was like, yeah, we all love your speeches, but it'd be actually really nice if you made that a lot more concise. Just roasted
and
his
then
ass.
She goes, I find it interesting that both traitors, who the man who you worship so much, Peter, both traitors were in collusion with Peter. He had a relationship
yeah.
with Dan. He had a relationship with Parvati. And by the way, Peter says he likes me so much now, he wants to work with me.
Yeah.
Family, we finally have our first lie. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. Peter did not say to Phaedra directly, I want to work with you, right? It was hint. There were some maybe hints at it, like, hey, let's work.
Yeah.
Let's work out to find out how you're not a traitor. But her saying, Peter tried to work with me, genius.
Genius.
So then
basically
all of a sudden
saying,
everybody
like, you
goes,
you can't take his word for it because he's doing it to everybody.
And now, and he did it with Dan. He's doing it with Parvati. Now he's doing it with me. He tells me he wants to work with me. So what am I supposed to do with
right.
that? Fabulous. Peter, then he's mad. It's not true.
Well, he goes, you know, that makes me really angry.
Oh, he, you know, no.
I was like,
you know,
geez.
No. He said what makes me really angry is that when Phaedra then said to him, What you might have forgot, most iconic line in the entire series so far. What you might have forgotten, Peter, is that this is not The Bachelor, and I do not have to kiss your ass for a rose.
It's like she's writing these lines too, because like everyone else is just like saying normal stuff, and then she's got like the written moments almost.
That was so iconic, so gorgeous.
And she's not begging for her life; she's coming at him. I mean, like, how dare you?
I don't have to kiss your ass.
And
that
creates a confidence, and then it kind of rattles him.
And that is when he gets mad, where she goes, "You're playing selfishly. Yeah. We all have to kiss the ring." And then he goes, "Oh, wow. This makes me so mad." He's like, "I liked you until now.
How dare you talk back to me?"
And then he's like, "By the way, you didn't like that I rejected your letter." And I think that's the first time Peter brought that up to the whole group,
yeah,
that he got a letter. And everyone's kind of looking around a little confused.
Some people
confused.
Knew. Some people, he had a small meeting, I think.
His pals knew. Yeah. But he didn't, I don't think he had, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he had addressed the round table with the fact that he had gotten that letter. And he's pissed. Peter is starting to rage. CT then brings up Trishel's name getting shot at during the church game. But then we've got, you know, Sandra coming in. Peter, you wanted to save Parvati yesterday. It sends off alarm bells. And he does the whole, you know, I wanted to save someone to the end that I knew was a traitor. Don't forget my Bergie block. I have a master plan. And listen, half of the group, they're sick of his master plan. They don't want a part of it anymore because it's not including them.
It's the old pirate ship. We've been out in the water for days. We're tired, hungry, thirsty. And the captain's like, "One more, almost there." And you're like, "Nah, we're done with you."
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the danger of being a big leader in these games.
I know.
Is like, it's all good until the target gets turned around on you and then you're cooked.
Totally.
You're cooked. And you got to know that it's coming for you. That's why I do believe that like the final two people will be someone like Sheree or something.
I don't
who's
think
just
it's,
chill. Who like,
I don't
just
think
kind
it's
like
two
escaped.
People though, babes. I think it's
or whatever.
A few people left
I just
and then
feel like
hopefully
the
no
end,
traitors for the faithful's sake.
I just feel like the people that are loud and really confident generally in any show just kind of like end up, you know, there's too many eyeballs on you and there's too many things in place that you're going to get caught.
Well, they have the voting. CT votes for Phaedra, which shot through the heart.
I know.
He says at one point, he's like, I can't do it for love in this game.
I
and
know,
I'm like, you
can't do it for love.
I'm like, CT, your romance is now gone with Phaedra and you better be coming back to her, you know, kissing her feet if you want to get in good graces with Phaedra again. Mm-hmm. But the deciding vote is MJ and she votes for Peter.
Yeah.
They were neck and neck.
That was
deciding
crazy.
Vote
neck
MJ.
And neck. And we didn't see the Peter thing coming. We thought maybe one or two people would be like suspicious of him, but we definitely didn't see him getting voted off.
No, they vote out Peter and he says, I'm obviously a faithful. And he ends being like, I tried to save you guys. Mm-hmm. A captain going down with his ship.
Going down with the
he
ship.
He won't leave the ship. And I have to say, I applaud Peter. I mean, an absolutely incredible run on the Traitors.
It was like
he
incredible
really did.
Until it wasn't. That was the thing.
But
it was
even,
like,
but
it
even
was
when
like
it
amazing
wasn't.
Until it wasn't.
But
it was
even
like,
when
holy
it wasn't,
shit.
It was still incredible.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was like maybe not incredible until it wasn't. More like just we were like, this guy's unbelievable. And then he's gone.
Yeah.
It was incredible how quickly things can go wrong for you if you do like he just played a little too fast, a little too
he played
hardcore.
Like he said, he played a little too cocky. He got a
little too cocky,
and if he would have just kept it in the pocket a little more, I think he would have gotten out all the traitors.
Yes, I completely.
I really do. But Peter is gone, and I will say after they vote out Peter, there is a somberness in the house because they realize that they have gotten rid of another faithful and not a traitor, and everyone is feeling a little bit somber. Trishel is doing a bit of gloating. She's like, her and John, they're like, what can we say? We told you. What could we say?
It's interesting when Peter left, how much he was carrying the show in regards to strategy, that like every episode was about Peter's strategy and everyone in on it or getting the like butt end of it.
Yeah.
So it was either like, we need to stop Peter from doing this or we need to get her because Peter thinks, and then Peter's doing this thing where now you're talking to her while I pull her and da, 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 da. Like you realized how much Peter was pulling the strings. So when he left, it definitely felt a little bit like, who's in control now?
Yeah, no, it did.
Now there's like four sections of people talking and they're all like,
he was definitely giving main character energy.
For like
he's
three,
like, I'm
four
the
episodes,
bachelor and I will be the main character.
His ideas were the arc for like four episodes straight.
That's true. Well, next they have the traitor's turret. And Kate says to Phaedra, listen, this is your call. They're all coming for you. Yeah. So it's your decision. Kate is feeling frustrated at Phaedra because she feels like Phaedra brought her in and does not have a game plan. And listen, my thing about Phaedra, why I love her, is Phaedra is just floating and she's enjoying this buffet and nobody suspected her for forever. So it's a little bit like, I don't necessarily have a plan.
She's like, I don't necessarily want to do anything different because I'm killing it.
Because I'm killing it. But she says, I have to either get rid of John or Trishel. And at breakfast that next morning, they find out that John is gone. Now, during breakfast, before it's announced that John isn't there anymore, CT is asking Phaedra, who do you think the traitor is? Because she won't give an answer. And then people are starting to talk about this. And I'm like, no, Phaedra, don't pull a Dan.
Yeah.
You saw how it went with Dan. If you didn't give anybody's name, then everyone starts being suspect. And I know you were saying Peter, but now you got to find a different name. And I was telling you, I'm like, if I was Phaedra at this point, I think what I'd do is I'd try to pull a 180 on everybody. And I would say, listen, I'm convinced that this is coming from inside Peter's pals. Do you think if I was the traitor, I'd be keeping all my friends and getting rid of all of Peter's pals? Doesn't that make me look suspect?
Right.
Like, doesn't that make someone from the other group look super suspect? Like, no, I'd be getting rid of people who you wouldn't guess I'd be attached to, or like, that you'd think that I was attached to, not people who, like, I wouldn't be getting rid of my enemies because that points the finger. You think I'm going to get rid of people who the second they call me out, I'm going to off them? No. And I would try to do a flip of script and be like, I think it's either Trishel or, I guess at this point it would be, well, maybe you, CT.
Right.
And kind of start pulling that, like, I wouldn't do that, and do a 180. I think that's maybe where I would go.
Yeah. But it is interesting because you're like, up until this point, Peter's pals have been so on the same team. Like, it's really been everyone. Like, but versus, like, it's interesting how once Peter created the Peter's pals.
Yeah.
The traitors became very obvious. Like Dan, Phaedra, and Parvati were very much on the outskirts of all the conversations. And so they weren't a part of all the like scheming and game planning.
But
and I feel like the Peter's pals have become close because of that.
Yeah.
And so now they're like disconnected from certain people. And it's an interesting
one. But that's why, like, I feel like though it'd be smart to pull a 180.
Yeah.
Because you're like, there's still so many people who were never part of Peter's pals.
Yes.
Where it's like, hey, and then, you
MJ,
know, Phaedra could say to
Sandra,
CT, this is why I wanted to get rid of Peter. Because I'm convinced that it's someone in that group, because why aren't the Bravo girls getting offed? And everyone always says, well, it's crazy that the Bravo girls aren't getting offed. That would be a great plan for a traitor to do what you'd think, like the opposite, you know, da 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 da.
Or maybe you do thing like where, as a Bravo girl,
yeah,
you go, listen, everyone's been saying that. I'll be honest with you. I have had a little bit of bias. I've been thinking this whole time, like, they're my girls. I can't. But to be honest with you, you know, MJ looks sketchy to me, you know, like, find a way to kind of like rip open, like, be like, basically like rip open your close circle to everyone else to show that, like,
maybe,
you're
but then
not,
it comes back on you. I feel I feel like, though, if you say, if Phaedra even threw out something to CT, like pulled him aside and be like, listen, I'm gonna be real with you. Okay. I love my Bravo girls. But the fact of the matter is this, if I was a traitor, you think that I'm so attached to MJ, I'm so attached to Kate that I wouldn't get rid of them. And then it would make it look like, come on now.
Yeah.
You think that I would just be getting rid of people who have a problem with me? That's so obvious. I feel like that would maybe be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But after John is left, and now it's just CT and the ladies. They're like literally wiping his face. And he's like, I'm on a dating show. It's just me and all the women. But Trishel jumps in and is like, can I join this exclusive group? Because now it's just CT and Trishel. And she's like, I want to talk logic and reason with you. I know who the traitor is. If you guys are going to act like you don't, we all know who it is. Da, 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 da. So they're hugging it out. They're hearing her. But also at the end of the day, we have Kate coming in saying, I think it's Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where now the tension is. Trishel talking to the remainder of the players, being like, we know it's Phaedra, we got to get rid of Phaedra. But then Kate trying to distract and being like, I think it's Sandra,
which is scary. I mean, that's like a risky move. Like, if I was Kate, like, she played it well, as in, like, she got people thinking about Sandra a little bit.
Yeah.
But if I was Kate, I just would have been like, it's too late for Phaedra. There's no come. It's way too much heat. I would have gone all in on Phaedra a little bit. And I wouldn't have gone in on her, but I would have been like, to be honest with you, that does make sense. That does make sense. That kind of stuff. Just to kind of keep people.
But, oh, sorry.
Go no, ahead. No. Just to like keep people off of you, but also don't be like colluding. You just
she
kinda,
did ultimately do that, though.
At the end.
But I do think it's smart if she tries to keep Phaedra around, because then if she keeps Phaedra around, then at the final round table, there's two traitors there and she knows that they'll go for Phaedra.
Right.
So then they're more distracted by Phaedra and then she'll be the traitor that remains.
Yeah.
So she wants there to be two traitors left at that final round table.
You want that, so but like you also don't Sandra. Want the, you don't want to be the one person who said don't go for Phaedra. Because then,
right. Then
once Phaedra's gone, they go, wait, weren't you the one that said we shouldn't go for her? Why is that?
But I think she was kind of playing where she was like, it could be Phaedra. But again, she did the what they were talking about with what Peter was talking about to do with Parvati.
Like saving.
Let's save her for the final
she's
one.
She's obviously.
I think Sandra is the one.
Okay.
I really like,
no,
a good
it was
game.
Pretty good. No, I thought it was a good idea because now that Phaedra's gone, you're kind of like, hopefully she's able to kind of continue the Sandra issue. You were hoping that they'll kind of go, so what were you saying about Sandra? That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a real fine line.
It's a fine line.
You want to bring it up a couple times, but you don't want to harp on it.
And Kate's panicking because she's like, am I breathing differently?
Yeah, she goes,
am I eating differently?
Would I eat the salmon if I wasn't a traitor? You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff, which is true. You start going, what do you act?
Oh, I'd be in full panic mode. I don't think I would pull it off very well.
And that almost happened, you know, after, was it when Peter, the first time when I think, was it Kevin or John who got, no, when it, I don't remember who got cut when she showed up the next morning and then Kate or though then MJ was like, you look different. You have your light is different from your eyes. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm not a traitor. Just, you know what I mean?
She goes, that's why I don't smoke weed. I get paranoid.
Yeah,
I'm
get
like,
paranoid.
Same.
Yeah, seriously.
Understandable. Then they have the mission where they have to find these golden nuggets in a pile of dirt and then run across these like wobbly decks that are on the water. There's one shield hidden in the mud. Everyone is struggling. Again, it's like, let's be real. The challenge players crush the missions.
Yeah. Not a big athletic group. Everyone made it like two and then just fell in. Like,
I mean, at one point, someone like dove off the edge and Alan was like, what was that?
Yeah, literally dove. Like, it, like intentionally was just like, I'm all set.
When I tell you I would have broken my face, one jump and I'm full face planting on the edge of that, jaw decimated, teeth out, not worth the
show. Couple
of
them fell like two on the corner. It looked a little gnarly. Yeah.
No, brutal. But CT and Trishelle were crushing this. And, you know, Phaedra was like, CT, it was almost heroic.
Yeah, she's like, go daddy.
Yeah,
at one
someone
point.
Said, yelled out, okay, daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, CT loved
CT's
that.
Living being the only guy there. And him planning
he
his one-on-one.
And he even made that joke about like, oh, maybe one of you will get a one-on-one with me. That was hilarious. I loved that.
It was so good. Well, they crush it. CT and Trishelle get like all the gold nuggets over. And MJ has her final moment where she ends up actually being able to cross and she gets a shield. I was laughing and I looked at you and I go, if I was MJ, I'd be so proud of myself because getting across that would be
and
so difficult for me.
None of her friends could do it.
None of her friends could do it. I'd be so proud. It's one of those things that I'd go back and like call you and be like, guess what I did, babe? But then when I say I jumped across a bunch of wobbly decks and I did it, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for you.
Good for you. Yeah.
But I'm like, this is a crowning moment of my athletic abilities.
Also
so, like,
doing something athletic
impressed.
Like on camera is always scary too.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, because like, no matter how athletic you think you looked, you're not.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's one of those, like, I could think I looked like incredible. And then you watch it and you're like, oh.
Yeah, even like CT, who was crushing it. It was like, he
you know,
like
in
he was
his mind,
struggling.
He's like, I was Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And then he watched the videos and he goes, oh, my.
He's like, I look like Hercules.
What I look like? Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, MJ ends up getting the shield. Back at the mansion, the conversation continues with Kate where she's like, save Phaedra for the final day.
Yeah.
Go for Sandra. She's having the conversation with CT and MJ. Sandra joins the conversation and they're all like awkward.
Yeah, they're all eating and they're like, what are they doing out there?
But Sandra says that her goal from day one has been to make friends with all the right people, essentially make friends with everyone.
Yeah.
But stay connected to the right people and that's how she wins Survivor. And I feel like she's been doing it. She's been playing a good game. Sandra is amazing. She gives enough info and plays enough game, but also is back on her heels enough.
Well, what I like about Sandra that Parvati never did is that Sandra focused on the relationships, not on winning, not on winning or losing.
Yep.
She just focused on the relationships. And I really think that's key for a lot of things in these games is like, if you become friends with people, they kind of delete you from the option.
Yeah, right?
Like,
true.
Even CT with Phaedra, it's like they had a crush situation going on that I think blinded him from Phaedra's guilt for a while.
I think most everyone had a relationship with Phaedra.
Exactly,
and
it became so blaringly obvious. Because, like, for the people that didn't have a relationship with her, it was blaringly obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so friendly with everyone that it kind of, you know what I mean? So Sandra's far less guilty looking than like Phaedra is.
Oh, Phaedra, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That Sandra's kind of being looked at, or like the way that Sandra's playing, is it's like Sandra has nothing really against her, and she's friends with everyone, so no one's really looking at her until Phaedra's Kate's trying to come up with something. So focusing on the relationships, like that's what burned Peter, is it's like he was trying to be an overlord, not a friend.
Well,
and people were willing to go against him immediately.
He only focused on his pals.
Exactly.
He had a close friend group, and he just really put time and energy and love into those few people instead of spreading the love
and the friendship with it's interesting.
And I think Sandra's crushing the game, because she really is, like, she's walking a fine balance, but
especially
now,
for being someone who came in with a famous, like,
that's the thing,
famous, oh, she's really good at this game, oh, you should be aware of her,
like, two-time Survivor winner, incredible game player,
versus like Kevin or Bergie, who's just like, I'm happy to be here, you know. It's like they're not threats.
Well, then we see a conversation with Sheree and Phaedra.
Yeah.
Where Sheree's like, we've been friends for 30 years. You know, I'm so loyal and I'm trying to protect you. But like, I don't know what else I can do. Tell me if you're a traitor or not. And Phaedra looks her dead in the eyes and goes, no, I'm not. And that's where I was like, if I was Phaedra, that would be so hard. Because it's just like, I get it. You have to play the game. You can't tell Sheree you're a traitor, because then what? What is Sheree going to do with that? That also puts her in a shit situation.
Both situations, then it's like, she has to lie for you.
But like, that would suck to be like looking at your friend. I was thinking, I'm like, if I was in this game with Katie, and I'd be like, and she'd be like, are you a traitor? I'd be like, I'd be dying inside.
She was even more gnarly about it, because she doubles down.
In the round table,
she doubles down on it. So Sheree is the one that goes, you know, we've been friends for 30 years. You know, basically, would you lie to me? And she goes, oh, I'd never lie to you, right? But then in the round table, Phaedra goes, we've been friends for 30 years. You think I'd lie to you? I mean, it was all time. She went all in. She pushed hard.
She went all in. But
But
at the round table, though, she also simultaneously kind of gave up.
That was really interesting. But I felt like, if I'm being 100% honest, that was a little bit like, I'm taking my ball. I'm quitting before you can fire me.
Yes.
That's what it felt like.
Well,
she saw the end coming, and instead of fighting hard, she kind of goes, to be honest, whatever. Like, she could tell, she's like, I don't think this is going to work, so I'm going to say I quit.
Well, there was an ITM moment where I think at the beginning of the episode, she was like, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm tired of defending my name. It
would be tough if you're anxious all day and you're afraid every day you're going to get axed and you're never comfortable. That is like,
no, it's pure stress.
Feeling.
You have to be in like a deep level of stress that the faithfuls don't feel.
Yeah.
They're worried that they, you know, might get offed or whatever, but it's a different level of nerves when you're like, I'm lying all the time and trying to, like, you know, create alliances and whatever.
Yeah.
It's stressful, but, you know, they right away, everyone's just kind of like, hey, we think it's Phaedra. At first, Trishelle is like, I think it's Phaedra. And Phaedra is like, your reasoning is ridiculous. But then all of a sudden, when MJ and Sandra mention Phaedra, and Sheree is like, hey, I don't know. I just, you haven't given us anything. Like, please give us something.
Yeah.
And Phaedra says, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm tired of fighting. Kate then is frustrated, because Kate's like, I tried to go for bat for you, and now you're sitting here and you're not doing anything. Like, this is the opportunity, I guess, to bring up Sandra and be like, hey, let's talk about Sandra.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. But it just felt like Phaedra was done.
She saw the end.
She saw the end.
Like, it is what it is.
And I have to say, during the voting, aside from Kate, which we'll talk about, during the voting, everyone seemed to kind of honor her on the way out, where she was smiling. Like, every person, they held up Phaedra's name, and they're like, Phaedra, I love you. You're an amazing person.
People drew hearts on her name.
Yeah, and, you know, CT's like, I think you're the most powerful traitor there ever was. I love you. Will you marry me? And Phaedra had this smirk on her face the whole time, and it was literally like they gave an homage to her.
It was like, yo, this isn't personal. You're just a traitor.
But it was cool, because with the other traitors, they didn't do that. And with Phaedra, they literally were like, we love you and we tip our hat to you, but we know it's you, so we have to send
you out.
Which I loved for Phaedra, because she is my queen. The one person who didn't do that is Kate. And Kate comes for Phaedra.
Yeah.
And Kate says, in this game, you are more selfish than skillful. And Phaedra's like, what?
It was aggressive. Goes,
yeah, you are.
And I can't tell if it was like maybe because she felt hurt with the fact that, like, you know, Kate was feeling like I was fighting for you out there and then you just give up like that. So now yes. you're looking, making me look bad. Or if it was, I am trying to really get any guilt away from me onto you. And I went just a little too hard.
See, I don't think it was strategy okay. because later when Sandra talks to her about it, she doesn't have like a good response no. for Sandra. I think it was an emotional, like she got frustrated at Phaedra. Number one, she's like, oh, I stuck my neck out for you. And number two, now there's the nerves of now I have to do this by myself. So I think she was frustrated thinking like maybe her and Phaedra yeah. would get to the end together.
But it was funny that she
like went,
because everyone's like, we love you. We hope you have a great day. Goodbye. And then she's like, you're a bitch. You're like, okay, whoa, what like, just happened? Like out of nowhere, no one's angry. Everyone knows she's going home. She has like all the votes are against her. And then out of nowhere, she just comes with like all the hate. And it was like,
and it's wild because Kate's been there for the shortest amount of time. So it's like, what vendetta do Kate you had have no, against her?
And to any of the faithful, Kate had no relationship with Phaedra almost.
So
it was like, huh? Why you hate her so much? What happened?
So if I'm sitting there, I would have felt exactly how Sandra felt. I'm like,
can you clarify why you went I'm after like, her all of a sudden?
Why do you care? Exactly. You have a much more of a deeper tie to Phaedra than it seems like you do in this manner.
This makes no sense.
So clearly you guys are traitors exactly. together because there's something that's going on behind the scenes where you're letting your emotions come
and
out.
Sandra has those smarts. She's got that yeah. like extra layer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah.
goes
She's
like
very
the way
savvy.
You're just kind of being mm-hmm. says something's wrong. I can't trust you.
Totally.
Like By not looking way, for just like obvious clues, but like more just energy. She's able to pick up on like, that's weird.
Yeah. The other thing about Sandra that I feel like it seems like it would be the opposite, but where I feel like she's going to make it like to the very end yeah. for sure, even though now there's some like eyeballs on her, is that I feel like her always getting it wrong, which she has been. I know that like
the that makes her more endearing.
It almost feels like
she's not good at this.
Yeah, yeah, even though she is. But it's like but it her missing feels less traitorish. Does that make sense? Even though the traitors are getting it wrong because, you know, they're not.
But versus like Trishel, who's like now 2 for 2 or 3 for 3 in the last couple. And you're kind of going, wait a second, you're kind of yeah. right a lot. And you're kind of
Which
like,
I
or
feel
Peter,
like,
you're like, wait, Peter's right all the time. You're kind of going, yeah. is this all a part of your plan?
Which I know feels like that seems more faithful, like you're getting rid of the traitors. But there's something about the way that Sandra's such a good player, but is always getting it wrong, that I'd be like, oh, she's good.
It's interesting. I honestly think it really comes down to likability.
Yeah.
And like, it's just a vibe.
Yeah.
I think there are certain clues here and there, but I think the issue is Dan gave them a bad vibe.
Yeah. He wasn't
warm. I think Parvati gave them a bad vibe.
Yeah. They weren't very warm with everybody.
I think Phaedra gave them a good vibe, mm-hmm. but she was the only one with actual evidence against her.
Yeah. And she lasted the longest. But
I honestly think that what made her last long was her likability.
Yeah.
But she actually was the most guilty out of all of them.
You mean like the breakfasts?
Well, no, I'm just saying, yeah, she was just kind of, to me, looked way more guilty than like Dan and Parvati. But Dan and Parvati were much less likable. And yeah. so she was able to kind of ride under the radar longer. Uh-huh. So it was interesting.
Oh, so interesting. Well, Phaedra goes
yeah.
and she has her exit line where she says, I am the most fabulous, faithful traitor.
And we're all like,
I know that you were trying.
First time you said something I don't really get. Faithful traitor. Everyone's like, wait, so is that a play on words or is she a, what is she? Is she a trading like, faithful?
I
was
like,
or?
Phaedra, I know that you're trying to do like the, yeah, and everyone yeah. gets around. I'm like, but I don't feel like faithful
land.
Traitor lands. Everyone then was a little.
You should have been like, I am a traitor. You know, but like, I'm a faithful yeah. traitor. And everyone's like, is that? What is so? What is that? Is she
like,
a traitor or faithful?
Is it a new genre
yeah,
of this
what is
game
that?
Where like you play both yeah. sides? Or like, what's the deal?
I just wish she would have been like, I'm a traitor. And Alan would have been like, oh, okay, whatever.
And I've been at the turret night after yeah. night, lusting for your blood.
She should have looked at him and been like, he's a traitor. And everyone was like, huh? He's playing?
He's been killing everyone every yeah. night.
But
yes, then we're left with, you know, Sandra questioning Kate, but now there's also a few eyes on Sandra. So I do feel like in this final episode, it will be the Kate versus Sandra showdown.
Yeah.
And we'll see where they land, because I do feel like Trishel and CT think Sandra's a traitor.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. So family, on Friday, we will be covering the finale and the reunion. I am so excited for the reunion. I feel like it's going to be spicy and fun. And I love so many of the people on this show.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see them again. bring our Lord and Savior Peter back.
Yes, please.
When he will probably give a big speech about why being a faithful is so important in every moment and part
and
of your life.
Look at the camera, like direct on, and just be like, and it's important every day to be honest and true and never take, you know, the temptation over the friendship and the kindness. Everyone's like, oh God, please.
I love it so much. Well, family, we love you. Tune in on Friday for the finale and the reunion, and I can't wait.
Love y'all.
Right. Bye. Bye.